All right, well, wherever you're watching around the world throughout the week, we're thankful that you are here with us and thankful for your smiling face here as we continue our series called The Name. And what we've been doing over these few weeks, this is our Christmas series, is we've been walking through a couple of names of Jesus. We kicked it off by talking about Jesus being our King of Kings. Last week, Alex Hanvey brought the preach and talked about how Jesus is the bread of life. And today we're going to be talking about how Jesus is the light of the world, Now, as we go through in this season, if we're completely honest, and let's just put all our cards on the table and be real, many of us can be in a season of darkness right now. Maybe we're walking through the loss of a loved one, the loss of a family member, the loss of a marriage, the loss of a job, the loss of finances. Maybe we've lost our health, and we're all struggling, and that darkness can lead us in a space of hopelessness. And in that space of hopelessness, we need something to help push us through, to sustain us, to get us through, to give us hope, and that is Jesus. Just putting all my cards on the table. That is Jesus. There's nothing else in this world that can show that. And so today, as we continue in our series called The Name, we're going to be talking about Jesus being light of the world. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. Now, if you know anything about me, I'm all about some Gospel of John. John is the love disciple, and the reason that I'm so much, and I love, like, the Gospel of John, and, John being the love disciple is this, it's the disciple I'm probably the least like, and it's the one I strive to be the most like. I'm more like Peter. I'm very hard-headed, headstrong, ready to go at times, and Jesus just has to sometimes rebuke me openly after I've confessed him as Lord. So just saying, wherever you are, go ahead and get in your Bible to John 1. If you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one free for the asking. They're over there in the back in our garden area, but also you can follow along with us on the Vine app, our free church out. And I just want to say, it's a perfect opportunity to download that app, because over these next few weeks, as we have our EFAM Sundays and our Winter Sabbath, as well as celebrating communion and Christmas next week and our Christmas Eve service, you're going to want to follow along on that app, because we may not be here physically in person. So go to thevine.tv/app, download that today. It'll ask you for your telephone number, and what it's going to do is shoot you the link. But here's the cool thing. Our Vine production team's incredible. Each and every week, they're going to make sure the scripture is on the screen wherever you're watching today. So, if you know anything about me, we're only going to be in five verses today. It's going to take me this whole time to get through five verses. Y'all know I like to talk at times, sometimes way too much. I'm like Peter, like I said. So hang in there with me. So, John 1 is where we're going to be. And John 1, believe it or not, is the Christmas story. Now, John doesn't have a Christmas story narrative like Matthew or Luke that we're used to, where we go through the genealogy of Jesus, or we go through angels going to shepherds, abiding by their flocks by night, and a baby in a manger. But John is literally starting John 1 with the Christmas story. He is laying the groundwork. What's different about the Gospel of John is he peels back the curtain on who Jesus is. He's literally giving us an open look into the mind of God in John 1. So if you've got your Bible today, let's get to John 1, starting in verse 1, and we're just going to go through and see what Jesus has for us today. If you're with me, give me an amen. I hear some amens. I know I don't sound as pretty as that awesome worship team, but Jesus is sweet sounding, I'm telling you right now. So the Spirit is going to be on us right now. So it says this, John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and He was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Right off the bat, John comes out swinging. In the beginning, there's something inside of us. There's an echo inside of us. This should change us, whether we follow Jesus or not. For those of us who follow Jesus, this should invoke something and remind us of something. Literally, we are standing on holy ground in the beginning. We are in the beginning. If you follow Jesus, you trust He is who He says He is, that should sound eerily familiar. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and formless, and His Spirit hovered over the deep, and darkness filled the land. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. He separated the light from the darkness, and He called the light day and the darkness night, and there was the first day. Let there be light. More on that in a second. But in the beginning. See, Jesus is ushering in a new Genesis. The whole point of the Christmas story is that he is ushering in, he is redeeming the separation and anguish we are in from the fall in the garden from where we were in the beginning. He is reconstituting a new kingdom. He is bringing a way for restoration and reconciliation to the Father. In the beginning, a new Genesis is coming. Jesus is here. This is the backdrop to the Christmas story. This is the piano playing in the background. This is setting the ambiance of the Christmas story. It's setting the scene. John brings us all the way back to the foundations of the earth to show us that Jesus was there. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word. I just shared with you Genesis 1. How did life come to be? God spoke, and it burst forth. The Word. The Greek word here that is there, if you were to read this in the original Greek that John's writing this in, is logos, the word logos. We get the word logic from that. Logic, the Word, the logic. In other words, when we think about our thought on paper, logos, logic, what that literally is meaning is creating order out of chaos. In the beginning, the way that order was created out of chaos was the Word. John is pointing to say, hey, it's not a thought, it's not a special knowledge that you have to understand what happened in the beginning. It's a person, and his name is Jesus, and he was there from the foundations of the earth. And so what he is saying is here, for each and every one of us, this thing that is stitched inside of us that we are searching for, this search for truth, this search for right, this search for order in the midst of extreme chaos in a season that may seem like it's really dark, is Jesus. The Word. The Word is what we're looking for. Not bird. Bird is not the Word. Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word. The Word. Flesh. This is the scandal of Jesus coming. The scandal of the Christmas story is God incarnate in flesh, in the form of a baby in a manger who fulfills what we can't do for ourselves. The scandal of Christmas is that. And so today, wherever you are, maybe you're skeptical of who Jesus is. I'm thankful you're here at the Vine Church. There's always a seat at the table for you, whether you follow Jesus for 2 years, 2 minutes, 20 years, or don't know who he is, than that crazy nativity scene or a man hanging on a cross on grandma's wall. Maybe you're a skeptic of Jesus today, and you're searching for that logos. You're searching for that thought expressed, that logic inside of you, and you can't figure out what it is. And you hear me say Jesus is the answer, and you say, no, there is no such thing as a God. We're just here. We just came out of nothing, and we just happen to be here today. And I'm so glad that you are here today. So let me ask you something. How many folks have done their Christmas shopping? Okay, awesome. I know who I can call to go do something for me too. Great job. Thank y'all. Appreciate it. I'm going to send a text later. I haven't started. Typical guy, I know. But this year, more than ever, I haven't really done well with that. But let's do this, and I promise you, we're not going to go straight jingle all the way Arnold Schwarzenegger here, but it's going to have a point here, okay? So you've been searching for this item for a niece, a nephew, a child, okay? It's so in demand, it's behind the cashier counter, as I hit the microphone here, sorry. It's behind the cashier register. And there's a big sign on there that says limit one per customer. And you're in line. You've looked everywhere for this thing. And you count. There are three people in front of you. And there's four on the shelf. It's a sigh of relief, right? Limit one per customer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That first person checks out. And while now they're down to three, you're number three, you're in line, you're going to get this. You're going to make a Merry Christmas for somebody. You're going to get it ready. And while that person who was second in line is now up there unloading the cart, the spouse of the person in front of you says, oh, thank you for holding my place in line. Our boys are going to be so happy when we get that home today. I know I can't wait to get that under the tree for them. How does that make you feel? You want to throat punch somebody, don't lie. It's okay. Like, right? You know what we call that? A moral compass. See, inside of us, there's something stitched that says we have a cause. There's a right and a wrong. There's something inside of us that yearns for justice, because you just want to say, excuse me, the line's back there, or you just roll up in front of them and straight Dale Earnhardt them, you know, you just start rubbing's racing, you get on them, man, and you try to break in line in front of them because that's your kid's toy. You've been waiting for it. But yet something inside of you says, hey, there's something that's not right. And so I want to move today to say, if you're a skeptic of Jesus, that that's been stitched inside of you from the foundations of the earth, from the beginning. And that's what you're looking for. Breaking in front of them, slashing their tires, hoping that the toys drop before you get up there, being rude to them, it's not going to get you the satisfaction long term that you want. And so today, if you're a skeptic of Jesus, I just move to say who you are looking for is Jesus, and I'm thankful you're here. And maybe you're not there fully yet. That's okay. See, when John is writing this in Greek society, there was this thing called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, okay? Gnosticism literally says, if I have a special knowledge of something, it is how I will receive salvation. Long story short, in a nutshell. I'm so glad that doesn't happen today, where people say that there are forces of good and evil, and there's an army of good somewhere, trapped people with an army of evil over in another continent. And if we just were enlightened by it and we knew that there was good versus evil, and now that we have that special knowledge, we know we can be saved because there is an army of good and an army of evil out there. I'm so glad that those things don't happen in the world we live in today, does it? Oh, wait, it does. 2-hour conversation this week about that. Trust me, it does. It does. We think if we have special knowledge, and I just want to say it's not the special knowledge you need. It's the person. It's Jesus. It's the word. It's the word that you are searching for. It is the truth that you seek. John is showing us the when, the where, and who of the word, and that is Jesus. Verse 2 and 3 says this: He was with God in the beginning. This is where it gets fun. This is where the tongue twister happens. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Here it is. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. It's a mouthful. So he was with God in the beginning. The light was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. John shows us the who. See, in the beginning, God created. Genesis 1 talked about what God does, what God did. John is showing us who God is. That's the Christmas story. It's not about what God's done or what God has created. It's about how he sent his son to reconcile us back to him, how he did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, how we couldn't be righteous enough, we couldn't live a perfect life, a sinless life, and be righteous enough, how we couldn't die to ourselves and still be at reconciliation with him. Jesus died paying that penalty for our sins and still loving us enough. He didn't stay dead. He rose again on the third day so that we could have life, so that we can live it to the full. We can be who we were created to be in him from the foundations of the earth. And as he sanctifies us and works us into his image, preparing us for the glory to come, each and every one of us can now all of a sudden walk in freedom, now all of a sudden walk in light. See, John is establishing God is not only outside of time, he literally created it. Genesis 1, he separated the light from darkness, called the light day and the darkness night. He created time. So have you ever thought about that? Do you know how mind-blowingly amazing that is? That God is outside of time. He's outside of the present situation you're in while he is still walking with you through it. How crazy is that? In other words, he's already gone before us. Inside, right now, God is outside of time. I mean, just think of all these. We won't open that. I'm not going to break out the TARDIS or anything. Don't get excited. I'm not going Doctor Who on you. But just think about this. Like, think about how God is outside of time. And while at the same time, he is with us inside of what he created, his creation. But be reminded, in the beginning, there was something that was on the earth before God spoke. Darkness. 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 So to the skeptic of Christ, I'm glad you're here. I know I'm speaking a lot to you, and this is the reason why. All of us have been there. All of us at one time or another were a skeptic of Jesus. If we are if we follow Jesus, if we've surrendered lordship of our life to Christ, confessed and repented of our sins, all of us at one point were a skeptic of Jesus. We didn't know if he is who he says he is. So to the skeptic of Jesus, I love talking about science. I can talk to you all day long about logic. I could talk to you about reasoning. We could talk about philosophers. We could talk about Kant. We could talk about, you know, Immanuel Kant. We could run around and Kierkegaard. We could flow and have some fun there. I could talk to you about Jerry Bentham. We could go into science. I'm not that smart, but my brother-in-law really is. So if you want to go and talk about physics and things like that and smart, I can't do those kind of things, but he is. Hey, we can have a great conversation. He's a genius when it comes to that. But like, there are things I love to talk to you about. Now, if it comes to X's and O's in football, I could tell you how to do it all day long, but I can't mash a button fast enough on Madden or actually throw a ball good enough to be a pro. So I will tell you though, I can talk with you about that. So here's what I'm getting. If you're a skeptic of Jesus today and you say, we're only here because of the Big Bang. Big Bang. Awesome. There was no creation. We had a Big Bang. Let me ask you this. For the Big Bang to actually have happened, were there not some laws of physics that already had to be in place for us to be the third rock from the sun to support life? To put us in motion? To have us in orbit around this thing? Because if we were one planet closer in Venus, it's too much light. It would kill us. If we're one planet too far away in Mars, there's not enough light. So much so that there's this thing that reflects light in the middle of the night that controls our tides, this moon that happens. Would there not have to be some type of law established undergirding it for the Big Bang to happen? Even if we are expanding, there's something that's making us expand, right? It's not just chaos. It's just not absolute anarchy. There's some type of law that is established there. And if we can agree that that is the truth, and we can agree that that had to happen, then we can agree there had to be a creator. There had to be something that set it in motion. And if something set it in motion, it means the universe was created with a purpose, with a meaning, and that there's something, there's a reason why we're here. You see, if you're a skeptic of Jesus, and you're sitting here today and saying how... You make fun of people because of what they believe in God, and that's totally fine. You can do that. There's still a place for you in this house, but let me say this. This is the equation of your life if that's the case. And I want to show you and tell you, as John is saying that Jesus was there in the beginning and establishing who God is, if you live your life by this equation, you can never sustain the weight of yourself. And it's this. Nobody times nothing equals everything, if that's where you are, and you believe that God isn't who he says he is, Jesus isn't. Really, really, really. I'm not here to beat you up. I'm just telling you, this is the equation of your life. We came from nothing, and nobody created us, but that's supposed to equal everything and every reason I'm here. Do you see the issue? How is that possible? Because if that's the case, there's no meaning to history. There's no logic. There's no reasoning. There's nothing. There's no meaning to why we're here. And if that's the case, what's the point? Why do we keep going on? What's the point? I would move to you as you're searching for real logic, real reasoning, real meaning, real purpose in your life. It's found in Christ alone. Nothing else. I'm telling you, once you've tasted it, you'll understand. But in the end, it's not a special knowledge that you have to have. It's not a special formula. It's not a special, like, going to a certain school and getting a certain degree. It's literally just receiving the free gift of salvation he came to give us. Because when Jesus comes, he'll give us the hope that nothing in this world can ever give us, right? He is the light. He is the light. When God said, let there be light, that was Jesus. It was Jesus, there from the beginning, the light. God was there, God the Father, God the Son, that is the light, and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the land. All three, the Trinity, were there in the beginning, and it's no coincidence that John starts off saying in that verse 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There are three things about the Word there, the Trinity. Look into all that. That's crazy good stuff. It's showing us where he was, establishing who he is and why he came. Verse 4 and 5 says this. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Light. In him was light and life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. No matter what season you're in right now, if you're in a season of darkness, this should give you more hope than a motivational speech, than a bank account number, than a new car to drive, than a new house, than a new career, than a new child, a new stocking, a new Christmas tree, I don't know, whatever you want to put out there, the things of this world. This should give you more hope than anything to know that the light cannot be overcome by darkness. Because that's who Jesus is. You see, when you write this, this light brought life. So we just said, hey, we're the third rock from the sun that gets the amount of light scientifically, and what would God use that to point to? Jesus, the light that brings life. Life in Greek is Zoe. Zoe. So when they were writing this, it's Z-O-E, Zoe in Greek, and it says, in him was life, and that life. So when you hear that, they're saying the Greeks said, hey, in him was life. In other words, life in this present age and life for the age to come. In him was life. So he has life for us now and life for eternity. It can only be found in him. And the way that we find him is by recognizing and understanding that he is the life. He has come to bring meaning to our existence. This is the Christmas story. He has come to reconcile us. He has come to make us a new creation. He has come to separate us, to literally reconcile us from the separation, the anguish, the turmoil, the darkness that sin left us in the beginning. Think about this. God created the heavens and the earth. He separates light from darkness. We come in, we think we know better than God, and we bring darkness right back over some fruit. We can have some great theological discussions about why it's not fruit, but we won't open that wound, about what it really was that happened. We could do that. That's great. We'll find out what that looks like in eternity, but for real, we could get in that. Without getting in the weeds of that, we brought darkness on ourselves again because of sin. And so when each and every one of us are born, we are born into darkness. The sad part is, if I came to you right now and told you you needed something and I didn't have Jesus, I couldn't even tell you what you needed. I would think I knew what you needed in the darkness. You need to be more positive. You need to pray harder. You need to give more. You need to serve more. That jet plane ain't fueling itself. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you need to go to this place. You need to buy this thing. Like, you wouldn't even know you needed it. And I couldn't give you what you needed. But you see, God loved us enough that in spite of us, he still made a way. He still made a way. And that is Jesus. The light that was there in the beginning, he came to reconcile us here at the Christmas story, the time of Christmas, this time. That is what God has done for us, to light the way, to give us hope in the darkness. Which is why today is a special day. We call today our Heart for the House Sowing Day. You see, as Christians and as the church, what we get to do is reflect his light to the ends of the earth, to the darkest, darkest of the earth. I could go so Lord of the Rings right now, but I'm not. But to the darkest space of the earth, we get to reflect his light there, right? That's what we're called to do. So the reason we as a church believe in the Heart for the House Sowing Day, we believe in the Christmas offering, and we believe supporting ministries, is we know that his light shines through us, and as we get to be a part of what he is doing, his light will continue to shine to the ends of the earth. So we give sacrificially. This is why. It's one thing for somebody to stand on a street corner and love Jesus and say they're against abortion. It's one thing to do that. It's one thing to tell everybody they're going to hell at a wrestling match. And I hope I see you there again, wherever you are. We'll go wrestle. I don't really care. It's one thing to say what you're against. But here's the question, and this is where the church fits in. What do you do to help teenagers who are pregnant and feel like they have no other decision? See, it's one thing to say you're against. The world can tell you everything it's against. Hello, cancel culture. They can tell you everything it's against. But if the church is doing nothing to help people caught in a desperate situation and meet them right where they are, we're just talking heads. We're no different than the world. But you see, as a church, we support ministries who meet people right where they are, meet teenage girls, meet teenage boys who are fathers right where they are, and say, Jesus is the better answer. Let me show you how. So that's why we support the Carolina Pregnancy Center. That's why we help PS I Love You Ministries that help with foster and adoption. That's why we help the Southeastern Children's Home, who are literally homeless children who have nowhere to go. And that's why this year we are supporting at our Christmas offering the Hope Center for Children. Because right now, those children that are in foster care are in a dark space and place. They feel like they have no hope. And the Hope Center for Children get to show them the hope that is Jesus and the thing that they are looking for. That's why as a church, you're not going to see me standing on the corner telling you everything we're against. Because that's not why Jesus came. By how we love others, we show what we're really against. See, it's one thing to say that you're against poverty. It's one thing to say that you're against people being stuck in hopeless homelessness. It's another thing to support Believe Outreach Ministries that literally meet people right where they are. Because by us giving to them, we are multiplying what God is doing, because we can only do so much on our own. By coming together as the church, we can be His light to meet people in the midst of addiction, to meet people in the midst of hopelessness and helplessness, to meet children who have nowhere to go and actually give them a warm blanket, to give hygiene items. That's why we do this. That's how we share His light. Because we're not all about what God is against, because I don't know about you. I think it's really clear what God is against, and God is against us rejecting Him and being sent to an eternal hell, a nightmare that is hell for eternity. That's what He's against. So much so, in love, He sent His Son. And if that's what He does, then that's what we as the church get to do. That's why we do this every year. And you may be standing there, and listen, when I say every penny of this goes to those ministries, I'm telling you, you can look on our page. We're full disclosure where every dime, every penny in this church goes. Every amount of this offering goes to those two ministries, period. Doesn't go to anything else. We believe in it so wholeheartedly, that's why we do what we do. And you may say today, all I can give is a dollar. That's fine. Trust the Holy Spirit in it. I don't know what the Holy Spirit's telling you to give. It's none of my business. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But I tell you what, I'm going to cheer for you as you walk in obedience to it, because He calls me to walk in obedience to it too. And I'm telling you, it gets to the ends of the year. So much so, since we've launched 4 years ago, we're literally, this is going to cross $150,000 we've been able to give. And that may not seem like much, but for a church that sets up and tears down a gym, that have people who give of their time, talent, and their treasure, it's a miracle. It's a miracle of God. Yeah, you could buy a building with that, right? But instead, we decide as His people to be His building to the ends of the earth. And that's the most important thing. Why? Because it gets His light to the ends of the earth. His light. So as I'm standing here saying, wherever you are, maybe you're a skeptic of Jesus, maybe your whole life you grew up hearing about what the church is against, and it's placed you in this hopeless season. Maybe you've heard the church be against you. Maybe you've had sin that showed up in your life, and people were frustrated with you about it, and the church rejected it for you. I want to tell you, this church will always have an open door to you, because this is a place where everyone is welcome, whatever season they're in. There's always a seat at the table for you. Just show up. Just show up and watch what God will do. Show up. It's not going to be my words. His word is so much better, because His word has been there from the beginning and beyond, from the foundations of it. So it's His word that's going to make the difference in your life, not mine. And I would challenge you, take Him at His word. Show up. Be a part of that, because that is why that is how you can experience real life change, real transformation, real meaning. It can bring purpose to the existence of why you are here, and peace in all seasons. As we've said, Jesus was there from the foundations of the earth. And so today, as the fire alarm goes off, sorry, I have to laugh, because if it does, I don't need eyebrows, so if something crazy happens, it's all good. We'll be good. This is literally what Christianity is. It's God lighting a candle in the dark. You see, it would do God no good to light this candle in a lighted room, would it? In a place full of light, what good does this light give you? But in the dark, shows the way, doesn't it? You see, God said, hey, I love you enough. I'm going to show you the way out of this darkness. And the way out of this darkness is my Son, the light, who has been there from the beginning. He was with me from the foundations of the earth. And He's going to do for you and fulfill for you what you can't do for yourself. You see, the thing about this light is we can only receive it. And once we've received it, then we can share it with everyone else. But I can't light that candle. It took something outside of this candle to light itself. Nothing I do or nothing I say or nothing I'll be could ever light this candle. But in the midst of a dark room, how much hope does this candle bring? As a matter of fact, so much so, what happens in our life is the reason we don't light this candle and this light is maybe because we're afraid of what it will show. But you say, here's the cool part about this light. You can't see it right now, but even in the ugliness of my T-Rex with his short arms and his Christmas ugly sweater, this light exposes it. God still sends His light in the midst of my mess to show me a way out, and shows me I'm not defined by this sweater. Instead, I'm defined by the light I get to carry. Maybe that's where you are. You said, if you know what I've done, you know the ugly sweater I'm wearing, if you know everything I've done, if you know what I said about Jesus this morning and what I'm about to say about him in the parking lot, there's no way that God would love me. And I would tell you, his light still shines because the darkness cannot overcome it. You see, when we have this light in our life, all of a sudden it penetrates the darkness and it shows us what he saved us from. The bondage that we have been living in that is sin. The way that we thought was good enough. And once we've seen the light in the darkness, isn't it crazy that we go searching for it more? So the reason we give a heart for the house offering, church, the reason we do what we do every week isn't because the world is mad at the darkness. Isn't because the world is trying to figure out the darkness. It's because the world and the heart cry of every human is this. It is asking, where is the light? In the midst of darkness, this is the light we search for. And Jesus is the light, the life, the hope of all mankind. And so today, wherever you are, maybe you've been trying to light your candle. Maybe you've been trying to light your way. And you think, if I get one more car, or if I get one more job, or I get one more child, or one more spouse, one more next rung up the corporate ladder, if I could just do one more thing, then maybe I can find the light. And I will tell you, that search is hopeless and will only leave you in hopelessness for your entire existence and this breath that is but of a life. And you will wander and fumble and stumble in darkness. And you may not be frustrated now, but eventually you will be, because the thing you're searching for isn't anything in that dark room. It's the light that God sent to save you. And that is Jesus. So wherever you are today, the reason we do what we get to do is this. Regardless of our ugly sweater, regardless of the ugliness we think, for all the million reasons we think God couldn't save us, for all the million reasons we think God can't love us, for the millions of those reasons, his light still shines, and we want to point others to the light. It's not going to be anything I say. It's not going to be any song we sing. We're going to reflect this light in everything we do, but every person who stands up here, speaks, sings, or worships knows that it is the light of Christ is the only hope that we have. So John 3:16 through 21 reminds us about God sending his light, and it says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, right now, maybe this verse 17 is so important because maybe you're not wanting to be a part of the light because you're afraid that God is going to condemn you. But look, right here it says this: For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why we don't go out in the world condemning it for every way. We don't condemn the world for living in the world. We show what we're for and how Jesus is the better answer. Verse 18 says this: Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Long story short, here it is in a nutshell. We can only receive this free light, this free gift of salvation that is the light, that is Jesus. So either we embrace it and receive it, and it will lead to light and life, or we decide the light isn't worth it, and the darkness is better for us than where we are, knowing the way. There is no in-between. Either you receive this free gift and this free light, or you fully reject it. Now, the thing is, you know who this Jesus is. The question is, what will you do with it? So with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do each and every week is so that others may know that Jesus is who he says he is. Maybe some of us needed to be reminded Jesus is who he says he is today. So with every head bow and every eye closed, we say a prayer together. It's not the words of this prayer that saves us. It's the faith. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. He is the light of the world. He is the light of mankind. He is the thing we are searching for. And so I'm going to ask everyone to repeat these words out loud after me for the benefit of those coming to the faith for the first time. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner, separated from you. I believe you came, lived a perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day so that I may have life. Come take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step, the rest of my life, the best way I know how. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you can say for the first time that you have surrendered lordship of your life to Jesus and you believe that he is who he says he is, and in faith you just prayed that prayer, on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. If you're in the house today and that's you, would you raise your hand? You can just slip it up and put it back down. If you're watching online, would you let us know? Let us know in the comment. There may be a hand that's raised on the video. There may not be. You can shoot us a message. If you're listening throughout the week, would you reach out to us either inside the app or at prayer@thevine.tv? We want to celebrate this with each and every one of you. And for the rest of us, you can look up. I know today was a lot of info. I got a little deeper than I normally do. So thank you for hanging in here with me. But I love how John gets us into the who of God and into the mind of God and into the reconciliation plan of this Christmas story. But I just want us to be reminded of how we get to be the light, how we get to point to the thing that everyone is searching for. As we go out today into these streets, as we go out throughout this week in the hustle and bustle of the season, people aren't looking for a gift. They think they are. People aren't looking for a stocking stuffer. They think they are. What they're really asking is, where is the light? Is the light found in this gift? Is the light found in this job? Is the light found in this car? Is the light found in this house? It is looking for the light. And church, we get to be it. Praise be to God that we get to be it through Christ Jesus. So as we go out this week, let's be his light. Let's reflect it, even when we don't feel like it. Listen, I'm telling you, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. There are plenty of moments I don't feel like it, and yet Jesus reminds me of how hopeless I was without him, how desperate I was without him, and how I didn't have hope, how I had to walk in darkness. So today, as the world is in darkness, let us shed his light. Would you stand and sing with us?
How still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the you. this child was born for us. Gloria.
All right. Isn't it great that we can be in our ugly sweater and Christ Jesus still loves us, that God still loves us even in the midst of this, in spite of us? I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of hope, because I know that, hey man, I can win the ugly dog contest and he still would save me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all good. It's so great. So right now, as we go in this world, I'm so glad that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Let's always reflect his light. And if he is what you are searching for, if you're trying to find things in this world, we just want to point you to Jesus in everything we do, because that is what this season represents. The scandal of Jesus isn't that he's a conglomeration of deities that came before him. It is God incarnate, God in flesh, come for us to reconcile us, to be with him. This thing he stitched inside of us, this hole, this vacuum that this earth cannot fill, only he can satisfy, sustain, and fulfill. And so as you are searching today, Jesus is your answer. For those of us in Christ, let's rejoice that he is the answer. Even in the midst of the darkness, the light cannot be overcome by it. We hope you have an awesome week. We are going to be gathering at a sower's house next week celebrating communion, but we'll still have a message online for you. If you would like details on that, please let us know. And maybe you can't make next week, but Christmas Eve is something you can make. Make plans to join us 7 p.m. here at the YMCA. We'll see you then. And always remember, the best is still yet to come.